Mr. President, friends and fellow students, I think that we are here in this hall in the ties of brotherhood, somewhat of a partial embodiment of a noble dream, a dream of bygone days. A dream that lives in the hearts of men, a dream that has been implanted into our minds by our original guides and divine instructors ages back, the dream of a united mankind, of a rebirth of the ancient wisdom, and of the world at peace. As far as tradition is concerned, the noblest men and women throughout the world have dreamt that dream, and movements have arisen here and there to bring it into manifestation, at least on some small scale. And so 100 years ago, another small group of seekers and students dreamt that ancient dream once more. And a mystic gong was struck, and its vibrant sound spread far and wide, calling people to come and embody the ancient dream once more. And a few came at once, and others came, and more came later, until a steady flow, a stream of seekers and students came to join hands with the original architects and agents of this vast undertaking, the dream that never dies, a hidden transom, we might say, opened in the human skies, and the light of the ancient wisdom poured down upon a rather dreary landscape of a materialistic world, and a new sound was struck. Today, we face a world in transition 100 years later, a world that seems to be filled with wars, and the sound of wars, and the thoughts of wars, and anxiety, and fear, and superstition, and violence. Do not be dismayed. This is not something that is coming to its end. This isn't a world that is going to pieces. It is a world that is undergoing the pangs of a new birth, a tremendous change, a global change, and naturally within that change there is an irreversible dislocation of some things. How could it be otherwise? The wind of the Spirit is blowing throughout the world, and it carries away with it some of our cherished inner landscapes. The unbending spirit of man is taking its stand again on the front lines, and its banners is planted on the beachhead of a new continent of thought. Do not mistake. New chapters in culture and civilization are not the result of dreary brain-mind cogitation and various other sociological causes and ideas. New chapters in civilization and culture are the manifestation of a transcendent vision, inspired by the dream that never dies. Today we face just that. This is not an installment of some cosmic evil permitted by charitable providence. Oh no. The world of today is our own world. It is our own past that is flowing over our heads and meets us in front in violent confrontation. We have to meet it and harmonize it and pay the debt for past failures and mistakes and build something new. Now the Theosophical movement today has become a force in the world. It is to be reckoned with. It is not as strong as we might like to have it, but it has become a power. But it also faces a great many dangers, and they must not be overlooked. One of the dangers is commercialism. We must never lose sight of the fact that theosophy cannot be sold, it cannot be bought, it cannot be leased or rented. It can only be given free, without any shackles or conditions, because it embodies some of the dream that never dies. And the other danger which many students of theosophy have already met and others might meet again is from certain narrow totalitarian regimes whose inborn myopia prevents them from seeing the spiritual horizon of human thought. But I feel that these dangers are but temporary, because eventually they are defeated by their own blatant arrogance. But there is a far greater danger to the Theosophical movement. And that greater danger stems from the proliferation of psychism in all its many deceptive forms. Now, our spiritual and intellectual teachings must be protected from that menace. This is no indictment of psychic matters. I am speaking of wild and uncontrolled and emotional and commercialized psychism. Therefore, my friends, speaking as an observer, if you allow me, it is a matter of some concern to many of us to see within the structural body of the Theosophical movement a great many programs and seminars and lodges and centers devoted to many psychic problems and subjects and rather lower manifestations of yoga and numerology and astrology and all kinds of things contained, or rather directed in the field of magic, instead of members being trained in the fundamental basic teachings of the esoteric philosophy. That's what we're here for. That's where the organized movement should score. And my observation has been that a great many members and workers in the movement are not very familiar with the basic teachings of the esoteric philosophy. They need to study it further than they have. And let us not mistake, my friends, if the trend is not reversed, if the psychic interests in the outer world invade our movement to any extent, we will not be able to ride the crest of the spiritual wave of the future and lead mankind into an intellectual and a spiritual and an ethical appreciation of the teaching. If that trend is not reversed, we are sunk. But it will be reversed. That's what we're here for. And let us remember, friends, that one of the outstanding objectives, a kind of an objective that is not written down in our objects, the main objective for the starting of the Theosophical movement 100 years ago was to stem the onrushing tide of psychism. Words to that effect, warnings about it, and the ways to meet it abound in HPB's writings and in the writings of a great many other theosophists. Therefore, we look ahead in great hope, and we can realize, if we just stop to think, that if we give to all, students and non-students, seekers and those who come asking for some answers to life's problems, if we give them the fundamental basic teachings of the esoteric philosophy as presented by the founders and those far greater than they behind the scene, we will ride into the next century on a wave of great hope and immense promise. Let's do it. The challenge of century the second is at our doorstep. Behind that challenge, behind our work and all our labor, stand that ancient dream. I call on you to recognize that challenge. I call on you to rise to that challenge and to meet it with all you've got in you. Born in ancient days, progeny of star-like beings at the dawn of mankind, and sustained by the sages and seers throughout the ages, our dream can never die. When 100 years ago, HPB was sent out as a direct messenger from the Brotherhood, she acted as many others have done before her day, who themselves were messengers. She started a school for the revival of the ancient wisdom, a Gnostic school, which simply means a school for spiritual knowledge, the Atmavidya, Bodhidharma, Brahmavidya, call it by any name you like. And the school that she started was on the lines and in perfect harmony with the mandates of our holy order. Like other schools, the one she started had an outer court and an inner sanctuary. The Theosophical movement, the Exoteric Society, and all its public activities are the outer court. We all know that. As to the inner sanctuary, it is made up of the sum total of students and seekers throughout the world in any affiliation or with none, who have devoted their entire life to the study of the ancient wisdom who have renounced a great many interests of the worldly type, who have taken some serious vows and are striving for a life of discipleship. Without that inner sanctuary, the outer court would be only a farce. And some of the characteristics of the seekers and students in that inner sanctuary are utter impersonality, selflessness, dedication wholehearted and complete to the work of the great teachers, forgiveness of all personal wrong, a life of strivings and aspiration, and their motto is to know, to dare, to will, and to remain silent. There is a wisdom in the world, a wisdom not apparent to the eyes of men. There is a path that leads to that wisdom, and it starts at the very root of our own heart. And there is a way of living, a secret way of life, a code of conduct which makes it possible to travel that path which leads to the hidden wisdom. These three: the hidden wisdom to be attained, the path that leads to it, and the secret method of living are the three basic keynotes of HPB's message to the world. Above all else, throughout everything she did and wrote, there is that keynote of universal brotherhood, which is the same as the unity of all life, global fraternity of the human race, total integration of men and women into one great family striving spiritward, the dream of the greatest and noblest men and women throughout the ages, the dream that never dies. She divulged the existence of highly evolved men, living men, the result and product of ages of evolution, of whom she was a direct agent entrusted with a mandate to deliver a message and to structure, as far as possible, a temple for the embodiment of that wisdom. She pointed to them as our elder brothers, custodians of the ancient wisdom, who silently watch the human race through the dangerous stages of its immaturity. On the distant horizon of our hopes, where their world of light touches our own world, she pointed to those supreme figures of manhood whose heart is made of fire, whose minds are flaming stars, whose souls are woven of compassion, and whose imperious will is dedicated to utter service and the transcendent search of never-ending truth. To them is pledged our life, the substance of our life, the fiber of our consciousness, the wellsprings of our utmost being. In the vibrant silence where words can only fail, where thoughts are beacon lights. As men and women of aspiration and of deep yearning, we dare to dream. Against the world, sometimes a world of tyrants, above the din of battles, against the storm of human passions, we dare to dream. We dream of a united mankind, of a brotherhood as a living power. We dream of the triumph of the ancient wisdom and of the world at peace. For our dream is rooted in the vision of the heart, in the inner spaces of our utmost being, beyond the tyranny of time, the rhythmic ebb and flow of passing years. Our dream can never die, nor can it fall away. It lives in the heart of all men. Dreamers may die, but never dies the dream.